Have your Bibles this morning. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. As we continue our journey in Bethlehem. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is he, the child who's been born king of the Jews? We have observed his stars at rising, and has come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem, Judea, for so has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall be shepherd to my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you found him, bring me word, so I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them was a star they had seen as it rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star stop, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child was Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. Now, at my other church, my song director kind of fussed at me. He said, "I guess next Sunday you want me to do We Three Kings." And I said, "Well, no, that'd be in two more Sundays." And he shook his head and said, "The only pastor I ever had will be doing Christmas carols in January." And I said, "Well, God married, though, it goes along with my sermon." No. And so another church, and if you know him, Jimmy Gilbert, he got up and he said, "We're going to sing this song." And he picked out a song that was in French. And there's like, you know, five or six of us. And so he more or less sung by himself. And then I got up and said, "Jimmy, I've been in church services where people spoke in tongues. This is the one I've been in where they were singing in tongues." You know. And now, why is it that we're still doing Christmas? Because if you talk to our culture, they say, "Well, Christmas, it's over with." I mean, it was over December 26th. You know? And that is a reflection of how culture and times have changed so dramatically. And on Facebook, I'm part of a group about Turner Classic Movies. I like old movies. And a lady had posted a question, said, "I noticed in a lot of these old Christmas movies, people are setting up their Christmas tree up on Christmas Eve. I don't get that." You know? Now, in our culture, most folks set up their Christmas tree when? Right after Thanksgiving, don't they? And what do they do on December 26th? Time to take her down. We're worn out. You know. Well, here's the explanation behind that. In the past, the idea was that you had a time called Advent. The idea of Jesus was coming, and you were getting ready for his coming, okay? And so you had the Advent candles and the tree and such. And then he came on Christmas. And then you would wait till January 6th to celebrate the coming of the wise men. And if you do the math, that suspiciously counts out to 12 days. And what's the famous song about 12 days? The 12 days of Christmas. That's where that comes from. Okay? Now, I was teaching a class for some freshmen one year about Hanukkah, and they kept saying 12. And I said, "It's not 12 days of Christmas. It's 8 nights and something totally different." So for Christians in the past, the idea was Christmas actually started on December 25th. You might go to a midnight service, and when it hit midnight, it was Christmas Day. You know, it was Christmas. And you celebrate Christmas for 12 days. Now in our culture, it gets midnight on Christmas, they quit playing the Christmas music. They're worn out. They've heard it all since Thanksgiving. You know. And I think that's one reason why people in our society get so let down to Christmas. Like, oh, man, I'm kind of sad and depressed. Well, because you got so riled up so soon. And you had this big day on Christmas, and then it's like you just fell off the emotional ladder. So we're going to talk about these wise men here. And I want to talk to you specifically about the three responses to Jesus and the Christmas. Because what happened back then still happens today. Now, who are these wise men? Now, we sang a song, and I really liked the song, but it was not accurate when it said, "We three kings of Orient are." Well, one, we don't know there's three of them. Now, we've guessed it's three because it said they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh, right? Three gifts, three people, okay? I mean, there might have been 12 of them. Who knows? We just know it's plural. We three kings. Well, they're not kings, okay? Magi is similar to our word magic. And the best we can tell, these are royal astrologers. And they appear to come from either where? The Orient? No, not from the Orient, over in Asia. No, be more the Middle Eastern, like Herb saying. If they were Babylonians, which would be modern-day Iraq, or they could have been Persians, which is modern-day Iran, okay? And it's interesting that during the Crusades, when the Persians came in, or now Iranians, and they were destroying these Christian churches, they actually spared the Church of Nativity because above it they saw the star and saw the image of these three wise men and recognized their gear like, that's our people, and they wouldn't touch it, you know. And so you can make an argument that they were Babylonians because, you know, the Book of Daniel talks about Daniel and the astrologers there. And of course, that empire also was connected to Persia later on. And you might say they were Persians. But either way, they were not Jewish. And they saw something that got them up and going. Now, what we do know is whatever they saw told them that a great king had been born in Israel. Now, in the King James Version, the one I grew up with, said we saw the rising of his star in the east and come to worship him. Now, if you're like me, a nice kid, you know, from the movies and the car and such, it's always at nighttime, right? That star shows up and starts going like a neon sign. But in ancient culture, it would not have been at midnight. It would have been at sunrise. Because sunrise was an indication of the birth of a new day. And if they saw something at sunrise that was special, it indicated the birth of a new king. And part of me wonders, that's why when we read the book of Revelation and it says that Jesus is the bride and morning star, that plays into that. This idea that in the east a star arose at sunrise and a king, a new king, been born. And isn't it interesting how at his second coming, Jesus said that when he shows up, it'll be like lightning flashing from the east to the west. At his first coming, people had to be very observant to realize that a new star was being formed on the sunrise. But his second coming, as lightning flashes from the east to the west, everybody will know he has arrived. And so when you hear folks say the Messiah is in New Mexico or in Texas or in South Korea, you know it's not true. When Jesus comes, everybody's going to know it. But the Bible says that for every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so they see this rising of the star, this astrological sign in the east, and they pack up. So if you were going looking for a newborn king of the Jews, where would you go to? You go to the capital, Jerusalem. And so they go into Jerusalem, and these wise men very unwisely were asking questions, where is he, born king of the Jews? And King Herod the Great thought, what do you mean, king of the Jews? There's one king of the Jews, and that's me. And so he called him in. And they said, no, you've been asking questions about a king. born in my kingdom. We have your majesty. And who told you such a king? We saw the rising of the star in the east, and we come to worship him. And I'm sure that scared old Herod. And it said Herod trembled, and all Jerusalem with him. The fact that even the heavens were declaring the birth of the king. And so what Herod does is he calls together his scribes and priests and asks them, says, where's this king supposed to be born at? Okay, so this is kind of like Jeopardy, you know. 500-hour question. Where is the Christ be born at? And as we say in our culture, be Micah chapter 5, verse 2. O thou Ephraim Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, out of thee shall come forth to me he that is to be ruler of all Israel, whose coming has been of old, from time everlasting. King, the answer is Bethlehem, that little village just down the road. What's special about Bethlehem? Well, King, that's where our... And they couldn't say the greatest king, right? They'd get them in trouble. They say, well, that's where King David, a really Jewish king, actually, a godly king, came from. Yeah. And so the Herod calls in the wise men secretly. In other words, he got behind closed doors in the office. And he learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Now, that's another clue. So it's not like in the movies where poor Mary has just given birth, and 5 minutes later the wise men are knocking on the door, and then she has to up and leave and go to Egypt. That'd be awful. Some time has gone by. The shepherds have already left. They're more settled down at this point. And he says, well, go to Bethlehem. And so when you find a child, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. So he's giving on the air that he's really inclined to worship this child. They set out. And then there's a surprise, the star that had appeared in the east is now appearing in front of them and leads them to the house. And they go in the house and they find Mary and also the child. And they knelt down and pay him homage. You know, there's something about when you're at home, getting down on your knees and praying. I know that some folks say it doesn't matter, you pray standing up, doing this, doing that. But I remember in the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, the demon frightened his nephew and said, if possible, tell him it doesn't matter if he kneels or not. He said, humans don't realize that because they're physical creatures, it makes a difference. When they kneel, they're showing reverence. No. And I kind of think if you are physically able, there should be times in your life you should get on your knees and pray. It shows reverence to God. And then they offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And just a little while ago, Miss Cadence led us in the song about We Three Kings and had a verse about each of those gifts. What's special about gold? It's a gift for a king. It's precious. It does not rust. What about frankincense? That's a little different. Well, frankincense was used in the temple for worship. Frankincense to offer have I, incense to know, so they deny, prayers and praising, all men raising, worshiping God Most High. And the book of Revelation talks about how the God, prayers of God's people are like incense coming up. And then the third one has always been strange, isn't it? Myrrh. It's very valuable, and yet it's also very bitter. And again, we see shadows of what's going to come in the future. When, after his terrible death, Jesus is taken down from the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea says, I'll take the body and give him a place to be buried at. He can be buried in my family tomb, which no man has been laid in. And Nicodemus, the man who visited Jesus at night, to whom Jesus said, you must be born again, brought in myrrh to anoint the body of Jesus as they wrapped the body and placed him in the tomb. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, breathing, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. And then it ends, talking about how the wise men were warned in a dream to return back to Herod, not to return to Herod, but to leave their own country by a different route. Now, what about our own society? Now, most folks in our society would be like these priests and scribes that were briefly mentioned. They're just indifferent. If you ask most folks what they think of a nativity scene, they'd be totally fine with that. Because in their mind, the nativity scene is just like a Santa Claus and the reindeer and the snowman. It's just one more Christmas decoration. And so most folks in our American society have nothing against Christmas. They don't know what it's about, but they know that it's a special time of year. They know that Mariah Carey sings a song about "All I Want for Christmas Is You," and Taylor Swift sings a song about "Last Christmas Gave You My Heart." And or you might say, "I know I'm dreaming of a white Christmas," or "I'll be home for Christmas." And then I need to go home and turn on my TV because it's going to be a Charlie Brown Christmas. And "It's a Wonderful Life," and "Miracle on 34th Street," and "How the Grinch Stole Christmas." You know, and none of these are bad. But the question is, though, all these movies and songs and activities about Christmas, what got it all started? And a lot of them couldn't tell you the answer. Well, it's Christmas. Well, why are we celebrating Christmas? Well, you know. All you got to do is look at the word, right? No, if you're Catholic, you have what's called a Mass, right? Time of worship. So if you have a Christ Mass, you have a Christmas. That's where it comes from. And yet so many people don't know that. And that's where most American society is. It's kind of indifferent. You would think these scribes and Pharisees, scribes and priests would go, "Well, this is kind of interesting. Let's go down with them to Bethlehem and see what's going on with this, see if there's any truth to this." But no, they were content to just answer the question and go on with their day of life. "Hey, what happened today at work?" "Well, the king called me in. He wanted to know where the baby, the Messiah, be born." "I said, Bethlehem." "Why are you asking that for?" "Well, these guys came in bringing gifts for him and said it's all star." "Oh, that's nice." You think at least one of them have enough sense to go, we need to go check this out. But unlike the shepherds that we saw 2 weeks ago, they were just indifferent. And that's where most folks in our society is at. They're just indifferent. It's just one more decoration. The second response is that of King Herod the Great. But later on, we'll see that King Herod will try to kill baby Jesus. It says he was frightened. And we see that in our society in certain quarters. We see folks who get scared and angry and upset. They see a nativity scene outside your house. They don't like it if you say Merry Christmas. They want you to say Happy Holidays. I mean, it's okay to say Happy New Year's, Happy Great Valentine's Day, Happy 4th of July, Happy Memorial Day, Happy Labor Day, Happy Halloween, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Hanukkah. But if you say Merry Christmas, they freak out. They get upset and angry. And sometimes these individuals will accuse Christians of trying to force Jesus on their folks. And I think sometimes that we need to go on the defense about that and say, no, you're missing the point. The point of Christmas was that Jesus did not force himself on others. He could have been born in the palace under the king and had authority to do whatever he wanted to. But instead, God in his wisdom sent him in humility, sent him to a young, poor couple who were even at home. They were homeless that night. And he was placed in the cow straw where the cows were at. Jesus did not come in glory, but in humility. And some of these organizations who will file these lawsuits and say, no, they represent the underdog. Well, you got to realize Jesus was the biggest underdog there was when he was born. God's purpose was never was to force him on humanity. Jesus was a gift. It was a symbol of God's love. And the idea was, as a gift, you're invited to receive this gift. And so we see people in our society who get very upset when they say nativity scenes, they hear a Christmas carol, and they want to say, don't do any of that. Now, you have the snowman, Santa Claus, and all the rest. Well, don't do that Jesus stuff. They respond out of fear and anger, just like King Herod the Great did. Well, we don't want to be like that bunch or the other bunches. We won't be like these wise men. They said they opened their treasure chests and then offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In other words, they didn't give him the cheap stuff. They gave him what was valuable and precious. What's the most valuable thing anybody can give Jesus at Christmas? A car? A house? Write a big old check and put in this offering plate? Well, I hate to tell you this. It's his already, right? He owns the cattle on the earth, the Lord's. No, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And when you die, you find out it wasn't yours to begin with, was it? You just got to borrow it for a while. What can I give him? As poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I'd bring him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What can I give him? Give him my heart. And isn't it strange, in our side, we even have a song about last Christmas, I gave away my heart. You know? And I want to tell folks, well, this Christmas, you need to give Jesus your heart. Last Christmas, you gave your heart to someone else, and it didn't work. And it won't work this year, or the next year, or next year. Christmas only works when you invite Jesus into your heart, when you give him your heart. No. The reason we give gifts goes back to the wise men giving gifts to Jesus if it's his birthday. The interesting part of the story is, though, Jesus himself was the gift he was given to us. How do we know? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this time of year, I just encourage you not to be like the priests and scribes who were just indifferent and just put Jesus in the box of Christmas decorations and forget about him till next year. Don't be like King Herod and be filled with fear and anger and hate and get offended when you see a nativity scene or hear a Christmas carol. But be like these wise men. Be humble enough to be willing to kneel down, to still seek the Lord, and to give him what's precious. Not your money, not your house, not your car, but have the wisdom to give him your heart. Thanks be to God. Amen.